Good morning.
Good morning.
We're continuing on with our study on the apostles. We started it last week. Just a quick review. Not all of the disciples were apostles, but all the apostles were disciples of Jesus. They were picked by Jesus, and they had specific responsibilities and duties that they're pretty awesome to realize that when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he was turning it over to these 12 men. They were average men. They were common men of different walks of life that we can identify with, maybe more with some than with others. We started out last week with a look at the Apostle Peter. He is always mentioned first. He is definitely an individual that I can relate an awful lot to. A lot of his life and so forth. We're also spending quite a bit of more time with Peter than with some of the others. One, there was an awful lot written about Peter. For one reason or another, but also with the record of the events of Peter's life and the actions and the events that he participated in, a lot of it flows over into the others. There are some specific, unique events that was just with Peter. But with a lot of his life, there's not a lot written about Thaddeus. There's not a lot written about Andrew. But the apostles in general, we see an awful lot in the accounts written about Peter. We had left off last week. We started looking at Peter, and we saw that he had been told about the Christ by his brother Andrew. We saw that he was called to be a disciple by Jesus. We saw his mother-in-law healed from near death. And we saw that he was sent out with the 12 to go preach in kind of a first mini effort as an apostle. They were sent out two by two, all 12 of them. Today we're going to pick up with not only Jesus walking on the water, but Peter walking on the water. And we might as well just dismiss, because Daryl pretty well covered it in his scripture reading. You know, class dismissed. I think you know pretty much about it. If you would turn back to Matthew, where Daryl had read the scripture, we're going to go back a couple of verses, and starting in verse 22. Jesus had just performed the miracle of the feeding of the multitudes, and starting in verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I just want to, just a little side note here. We can not only learn from these early apostles, but look more so at Jesus. Jesus had a very, very active prayer life. He had to. He had to stay focused. And if we learn anything through the scriptures, yes, we can identify with some individual human beings, the apostles, but if we're going to follow anybody, let's follow the life and the actions and attitudes of Jesus himself. Because as we will see with the apostles, as great of men, picked by Jesus himself, they were still men. And yes, we can learn examples from them and try to pattern ourselves to become better Christians by them, but it's ultimately we want to pattern ourselves to be like Jesus. Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. How many times in the scriptures do we see that he leaves the crowds and he prays to God? I don't know if there's any of us that couldn't devote ourselves more to prayer. Jesus did. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. This is late at night now. This is late night, early, before the sun comes up, the fourth watch. Came to them, went to them walking on the sea. Now, that's not something you see every day. This is not just just another Thursday. This is not something that was common to them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. I don't blame them. It's not like, don't be afraid, guys. We've seen this before. And it always turned out okay. This is the first time. And they were scared. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." You know, nothing special. You know the power I have. I just fed thousands of people. You've seen me heal your mother-in-law. You've seen me heal others. I gave you the power when I sent you all out with the 12 to preach and teach. I gave you the power to do these things also. If it's you, Jesus, say that I can do this. You're putting emphasis on too big of things. Come on. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. Wow. He's doing what Jesus had been doing. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." This verse alone, and Daryl touched on it in his remarks with the scripture reading. One, everything was fine. It's not normal, but everything was fine as long as Peter was looking at Jesus. When he was focused on him, he was doing the unthinkable. But he was focused. But when the cares and the things around him, man's thinking, took over, probably getting splashed in the face by some water, the wind, looking around, "Holy cow, what am I doing?" He began to be afraid and he started to sink. And he says, "Lord, save me." One, we see, stay focused on Jesus. When the storms of life are around us, beating us about the head and shoulders, I don't care if it's problems at work, I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's health. I don't care if it's the loss of a friend. When the cares and the worries around us are splashing us in the face, and we're looking around at how turbulent the waters are, whether it be kids going off to college, moving far, far away to another land, or whether it's a hospital stay, stay focused on Jesus. And then when it did start going south for Peter, he had the presence of mind of where safety was. Lord, save me. At that point, he didn't try to, being a fisherman, I'm assuming he could swim. Being a man that lived his life out on the water, you would like to think he could probably swim. He didn't rely on his own power. He had the presence of mind, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Amen.
They didn't miss it. They did not miss this event. They caught it full bore. They understood this. They get in the boat. They saw the power that Jesus had, one, to be walking on the water. That he could give the power to Peter to walk on the water. And then he saves Peter. They get in the boat and everything just stops. Boom. You're the Son of God. There's no doubt. We have Peter's great confession. They said, "Truly, you're the Son of God," before Peter's great confession. In Matthew 16, a couple of chapters later, starting in verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi," very important, this region was the hub of just about every major culture of that region. Caesarea Philippi, there was numerous altars and temples to the old Greek and Roman gods. There was a temple to worship Caesar in this region. This region was the location of the headwaters of the Jordan River. So literally, it is the hub of the Greek and Roman world. The hub, in a lot of ways, of something that was so special to the Jews, the Jordan River. And now we're going to see Peter's going to be making a great confession of his belief in this very region, surrounded by altars, by temples, and it is in this midst that the disciples, the apostles, are at. He asked his disciples, this talking about Jesus, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Basically, many people feel you're right up there with people like John the Baptist. Or the prophets. That's what a lot of the people are saying. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered. Of course, it's Peter. He's the guy that jumps up. He's the guy that jumps out of boats. He's the guy that will speak up when maybe others are silent. Don't you know he would have been a joy to have in Bible class? Johnny Jump Up always with the answers and things like that. But Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." They'd already, as a group, proclaimed that in the boat. But Peter is saying it. "I'm saying it, Jesus. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the man that we've looked for generations." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That is such a great account on numerous ways. One, the confession. If we don't believe what Peter just said, we're wasting our time. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, the one and only whose salvation comes through, we could be doing a few other things right now. But also, he says, on this rock of that confession, that's the foundation that Christianity is based on. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you cannot go any farther. If you don't believe that, you can't build anything until you establish that fact. And it's comforting because he says, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. How do you ever worry? What's going to happen to the church? You know, I've heard preachers, I'm not condemning people that say this, but because I know what they mean, but they say, we're a generation away from the church folding. No, we're not. Jesus himself said the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, is it important for us to continue in preaching to others and to our children? Absolutely. But Jesus says this church that I'm establishing, and it's based on that foundation that I am the Son of the living God, the Savior. That is the foundation of the church. And he says, the gates of Hades, the devil himself, will not prevail against it. Right after this great confession, we see the human side of Peter. We saw the human side of Peter when he was walking on the water. We see Peter just made this great confession, and Jesus praises him for it. "Good job, Peter." From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples, and this is kind of an eye-opening experience here. He began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside. I love this. Peter's taking him aside and going to correct him. Let me school you a little bit, Jesus. That ain't going to happen. Took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Peter misses the point. Peter misses the point here. Jesus is telling them, this is what's got to unfold. I've got to go to Jerusalem, suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the elders, the scribes. I'm going to have to suffer. Jesus knew how much suffering he'd have to do, but they really didn't. They missed the point. They're focused on that. They didn't listen to the rest of it. What do you mean you got to go suffer and be killed? They didn't hear and be raised from the dead. They just, if Peter would have just slowed down, listened to the whole, he got focused. He gets all worked up before he hears the rest of the story. And be raised on the third day. So he's taking Jesus aside. Jesus, not going to let that happen to you. Peter, it's got to. It's got to happen. You don't want me to be raised from the dead? But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." That's strong. Jesus is calling Peter Satan. These actions, these words are like the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Don't mess with the Word of God. Don't mess with God's plan. You're not going to improve upon it. You're not going to redirect it. This has got to happen. It says, "You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Nobody wanted to see their Jesus, their friend, their Savior, suffer. But how is he going to be the Savior if he doesn't die and be raised on the third day? They're overlooking that "and be raised." You're focused on the things of men, Peter. He's just made the great confession. And now he's saying, "Get behind me. I don't want you thinking about this. I don't want to be thinking about it. I don't want you to sow a seed in my mind that I can get out of this. Get behind me." We see Jesus dealing with a friend of his. My friend is not going to distract me from fulfilling the Word of God. That's sometimes hard to do. I'm sure if we think in our lives, there's been times where we might have maybe drifted from a friend because they distracted us from fulfilling the Word of God, fulfilling our duty, maybe distracted us from fully serving God. We see this example here. We're going to end here today. We're going to continue next week. I don't know how long the study on the apostles will go. We've still got a couple more weeks of looking at Peter. Keep in mind, Peter, in a lot of ways, is a representation because so much is written about him. The other disciples that we don't have much written about, they were there at the same time. If you've been studying the Word of God and you realize in the words of Jesus that you've got to believe in him, if you realize in the words of Jesus that you must confess him, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, that you must confess him before men. If you realize in the words of Jesus that you must repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3. And if you realize in the words of Jesus that you need to be baptized, Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're to that point and need to put your Lord on in baptism, we can accommodate you. If you need prayers of the congregation, if the cares and worries and the storms of life are beating you in the face like the wind did Peter, and you need to turn to Jesus, turn to God in prayer, we would love to assist you with that. If you're looking for a congregation to call your church home, If you're baptized into the church, you're a member of the church. But if you haven't committed to a congregation, we had a study about that a few weeks ago, different terms about the church and congregations. If you'd like to make this your congregational home, we would love to have you. We'll put you to work, and there's plenty to do. Whatever your need, if we here at South Valley can assist you through study, baptism, prayers, whatever, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand.